There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you for tuning in to this new week on the podcast. I'd like to welcome each and every one of our listeners. We are currently seated in the state of Maine. We certainly are thankful for the opportunity we have. We thank God for that fervent door that has opened unto us in the state of Maine these last years. I guess we've been coming up here for about 7 years now, and we certainly thank the Lord for that. All the churches that have had us in, the pastors let us come preach. And thank God there's some men in the state of Maine holding forth the word of life. We certainly thank the Lord for that. They've not cowed down to the pressure. They've not given in to the contemporary pressure, the modernistic pressure, the hyperdispensational pressure, the Calvinist pressure. They just happen to believe the word of God. And there are a few left, and how we rejoice, and we thank the Lord for that. We're in a day when the truth doesn't matter to most folks. They're not concerned about the truth. They're concerned about religion or pragmatism, but they really don't want the truth. And so pray for our services. Will be tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night here in South Liberty. And that's at 7 o'clock each night. Thursday, we'll be at Dover Foxcroft. I believe that's at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday, 10 o'clock, beginning Sunday school, 11 o'clock church, we'll be down at Tremont, the Tremont Baptist Church. So pray for those services. Pray for us here in the state of Maine. Pray for the podcast. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. And we look at this and go back one verse where we were when we left off. In verse 9, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which, what is that? The second, the body of Jesus Christ. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now here's something somebody had a hang up a while ago. They said when he said it is finished, his offering was completed. They said when he said it is finished, everything was done that needed done on the cross. They said when he said it is finished, it was all finished. And the sad part about that is you can't reason with people when they come to a conclusion like that. But yet when he said it is finished, the blood had not been put on the mercy seat. His soul had not been offered. He had not at best, whether you believe it or not, he'd not gone down into the heart of the earth. He'd not gone to Abraham's bosom, which became paradise. He had not ascended to the Father. He had not descended again. There's just so many things that needed to take place. But what they don't understand, and what a lot of men choke at, is he had offered one sacrifice for sins. And that sacrifice was his body. It was the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. But notice this, it didn't say he offered his body for our cleansing. He didn't offer his body for our soul. He offered the body for the sanctified of us. And therefore we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We've been entirely sanctified in Christ through his body. That's why he offered that body. That's why that Holy One of God. That's why he did not leave his soul in hell, neither did he suffer his Holy One to see corruption. That's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, there were sacrifices made. There were other offerings made. And we know that according to the scriptures. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And so they stand daily ministering these, annually going behind the veil, and they do this over and over and over, and yet it never one time took away sin. Jesus Christ's body was offered one time and it sanctified us forever. That's according to the word of God. And again, there's different sacrifices. There's different offerings. Jesus Christ completed every single one of them. It's not like he was a partial sacrifice here and a partial offering there. No, he fulfilled the law of God. He fulfilled the law of the leper. He fulfilled the law of the woman in the day of her cleansing. He fulfilled the law of the man that has jealousy. And his wife has to come and drink that bitter water. He's fulfilled that law where in his own body. That's what with the woman, the issue of blood touched his garment. What happened? Virtue came out of him. Virtue healed her. He perceived that virtue had departed. There's enough virtue in Jesus Christ to save the world. There's enough virtue in Jesus Christ to cleanse the world. He's the fulfillment of those laws. And what we have, again, a misunderstanding today, is that Jesus Christ died once, and it was one sacrifice, and it was one offering. And I would not dispute that. But what they cannot see today, and what especially the minions on YouTube and the pastors on YouTube, and I call them YouTube pastors because people don't go to church, they watch their YouTube star, and what they do not preach today, do not see today, is that he is the completion of every one of those offerings, and every one of those sacrifices is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ when he was offered once. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's why the word of God said, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in him, and by the way, that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things are put under him. By the way, they're going to be. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels. Why do we see Jesus Christ? Because he is that sacrifice. He is that offering. He completed the law of God. And so it goes on, it says, this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, that's complete, that's for all eternity, there's no variableness or turning in that, he sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. When is that going to take place? Well, the word of God tells us it is a time which is yet to come. It is after his imminent return in the air. After those days when great tribulation is going to come upon this earth, that man of sin, that son of perdition is going to be revealed. And then Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he returns triumphantly and puts his feet on this earth. That mount cleaves asunder. And he enters that eastern gate, ascends the throne of David, and sits himself upon this earth and then makes his enemies his footstool. And by the way, when he does that, he will do that forever. Because the word of God said, to which of the enemy said he at any time, that's Psalm 102 and 27, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to take place. Why? Because he has offered himself once for sin, and he sat down. It's complete. It is over. It is finished. Was it finished on the cross? No, it was finished when he sat down on the right hand of God. That's when it was finished. There is nothing else that needs to be done. Nothing else will ever need to be done for the forgiveness of sins, for the washing and the cleansing and the regeneration only God can give. I was listening to a radio preacher the other day, and he told the story of meeting an older order man, a very conservative man, and they were debating over baptism. And they began to discuss baptism. Finally, this preacher asked the man, he said, so you believe that you're regenerated by baptism? And the man said, no, absolutely not. And he said, well, I don't understand what the issue is. And the man says, well, we don't believe in regeneration. And the preacher was kind of stunned by that. He said, you know, in his thinking, he's going, my goodness, I thought we were debating baptism. We're talking about the regeneration. But I got dear friends that have come out of that. God saved them. God's brought them out. God's made them new creatures. And they have said there is no new birth required in most churches today. It's a foreign word. It's a false word. They say it's a false doctrine. They fight against the new birth. They don't believe in that regeneration. Why? But they don't believe that Jesus Christ offered himself once for sin and sat down on the right hand of God. And when that offering was complete, he sat there waiting to make his enemies his footstool. What is that last great enemy? It's death. One of these days, death will be his footstool. There will be no more death. The word of God tells us that. Thank God for that. One of these days, all those enemies will be put in subjection to him. Why? Because of what he did on the cross, what he did after the cross, what he did as that offered once for sin. And it's complete, it's finished, it's over, it's done. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. They are perfected forever. There's eternal security. Perfected forever. There's the loss of salvation. It's negated there. They're perfected forever. There's the idea that, well, you sent away your day of grace. He perfected it forever. Why? It's not in me to keep it. It's in him to keep it. It's not works of righteousness which I have done. It's in his mercy that he's extended to mankind. It's in his mercy that he's offered to us. That's who keeps salvation. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's not in me to give. It's not in me to keep. It's not in me to offer. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he expected to make his enemies his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. To go against that is to go against the word of God. He has offered that one time, and he sanctified us forever. How did he sanctify us? Through the offering of his body. And that's why when we take that bread, and we take that cup of the communion, that cup of the Lord's table. I don't care which words you want to use, how you want to identify it. I don't care if you call it the Lord's Supper. I don't care if you call it the Lord's Lunch. I don't care if you call it the Lord's Table. I don't really care if you call it communion. As long as you're doing it according to the Scriptures and remembering his body until he comes. Why? We're saved by his life. We've been sanctified by that body. And every time we take that bread, we ought to take remembrance and remember that that body was offered for us. That sinless, perfect body of the Lord Jesus Christ was made an offering that you and I might be sanctified in Christ. Our conscience might be purged. Our sins might be forgiven. We might be now clean. One of the things that was impressed upon me many years ago by an older preacher, he said, young man, never take lightly those sacrifices. Find out where they took place, when they took place, how they were offered, the order in which they were offered, who slew them, who offered them, who took the blood in. He said, figure those things out. And my friend, I took that as a challenge, and I realized as I began to study them how little I knew about those offerings. Today, after studying them numerous times and looking at them continually, almost weekly, different sacrifices, seeing Jesus Christ and going back and finding him in those sacrifices, I realize today I know less about those offerings than I've ever known. I used to think I knew a lot about them till I began to study them. Now I realize I really don't know anything about them. But I know enough to know this. Every one of those is completed in Jesus Christ. Every one of those is never to be repeated because of the person of Jesus Christ. He has perfected us. He has changed us that are sanctified. He's made us new creatures. In verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before. Now, by the way, the Holy Ghost bears witness with us. Why? Because the Spirit of God, thank God for the blessed Holy Ghost. He comes, you know what he does? He bears witness to us. And he bears witness to me, and he tells me that I'm the Son of God. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what the Word of God says. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Then he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Why? Because that's his role. That's his job. That's what he does. He points men to Christ. Then when they've been sanctified by Christ, he continues to point to him and let us know that we are nothing. It's all Christ. There's nothing good in me. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but Christ is altogether lovely. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds us continually there's nothing in us that God desires or God wants except for us to come to his dear Son by faith and believe that Jesus Christ is. Believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us after that he said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. And in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the promise of God. I'm going to deal with that a little bit more tomorrow, probably in much greater depth. But I want to just talk just for the last minute I have here on the podcast of the glorious thought, the law of God written in our hearts and law of God written in our minds, that renewed mind in Jesus Christ. And then that wonderful promise of God, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That tells me, friend, they're not under the blood. They're not hidden somewhere. They're not tucked away. They're not covered by the blood. No, they've been washed. They've been made clean. You know why? God himself will never remember those sins. My friend, God himself will remember them no more. He said, their sins and iniquities will I. That's first person. Who's writing here? Well, if you look at that prophecy, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, Lord willing. You look at that prophecy, you realize that's the Spirit of Jesus Christ speaking. He's not going to remember our sins and iniquities. Those same sins he bore in his body on the tree, he'll not remember. My iniquities that he bore in his body on the cross, he'll not remember them anymore. Why? Because he died once for sin, was offered once for sin, shed his blood once for sin. That blood was put one time on the mercy seat. His soul was offered once in the very depths of hell for my sin. He brought him out, crossed that great gulf, drew him out of many waters one time for sin. And then he ascended. Ascended to the Father, and my friend, he's on the right hand of God once, making intercession for us. And then he will, one time, make his enemies his footstool. See, what God does, God never goes back on. What the Word of God says, he never goes back. He is the author and the finisher of our faith.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.